Jesus is here, covenant Lord and Redeemer. I surrender my heart, you've set me apart to worship you. In your presence I am complete, as I worship at your feet. You are holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Jesus is here, covenant Lord and Redeemer. I serve, you've set me apart to worship you. In your presence I am complete, as I worship at your feet. You are holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Lord and Redeemer, I surrender my heart, you've set me apart to worship you. In your presence I am complete, as I worship at your feet.
And welcome again to this Gospel Miracle Hour. We are so pleased you've joined us. Well, I have good news for you. God is not angry with you. He loves you. He wants to do a work in your life that no man can do. You are unique, and he has a destiny for you to fulfill. I'd like to open and pray. Lord, I pray that you grant to your servant great boldness to preach your word, to bring your word, that, Lord, that you would stretch forth your hand to heal, and that you'd perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. For this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. All God's children said, Amen. Well, we look at today again, we look, what's God's nature like, and what is his heart like? What does he think of you? Go to Hosea again, Hosea 11, verse 8. God is saying, my heart turns within me. My sympathy is stirred. So we see that here that Hosea is bold enough to open for us the mind of God, God's inner thoughts. There we say God's feelings. What do we find when we look through this audacious window? Bold enough to look through that window of God's heart, do we find the stern, unfair God, having infinite understanding, judge? No. Astonishingly, in this passage, the prophet tells us that what we find when we look through the window at the heart of God is a broken heart of a deserted parent. Hosea insists that there is one very fundamental and important way in which God is like us. He loves, and he loves in a way that we human beings can understand and experience. And because he loves, he feels. He can be hurt. He can suffer. Does God feel pain? Does God actually suffer when we sin and show contempt for his love? Verse 8 seems to indicate that he does. Was not one of the purposes of God becoming man so that we might know God in a way we can understand? Certainly, we must concede that Jesus' life, a life filled with emotions, pain, suffering, helped us understand who God is. We see in Matthew 14:14, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd of people. He was moved with compassion, with pity, and deep sympathy for them, and healed their sick. We see the heart of God through Jesus. Many people are afraid to love for fear of the pain of rejection, and so hold back. But true love, unconditional love, loyal love, God's love is not fearful. God's love continues, never giving up hope, never saying that's enough, never reacting, but always reaching out to rescue, to restore. The deeper our insult, the deeper his resolve to bring us home. God shows us the miracle come to pass when one who loves receives bad for good, yet keeps offering the good, keeps loving without return. Friends, the doorway between heaven and earth is cracked open, and the light of God's love shines through. We are the children of an eternal God, and we are made for something better. We were made to experience and disperse the miracle of selfless, patient, stubborn love, a love that does not quit, a love that does not demand return, a love that does not avoid pain, but is compassionate. It is compassionate beyond measure. Loved one, this entire message has been God loves you. He always has. He always will. It's not enough to say, great to hear, John, and walk away. To know God's love and walk away changes nothing in your life. This free gift that you do not receive is of no value. If you don't receive it, it's no value. God has paid a price for your sin, and eternal life is now available to you, but you must receive it. At this very moment, Christ stands at the door of your heart and waits for you to invite him in. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, will you pray with me? Just follow me along in a simple prayer if you want to get your life right with God. The free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered. Just follow me in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me of all my sin. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died on the cross for me, for my sin and sickness. Come into my heart and life. I take you as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. Well, friends, get into a good Bible-based church and give God first place. He has a destiny for you to fulfil. Write the message today, you're feeling unworthy to serve. Well, we look at Luke 22 and 33. And Peter says to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and death. And verse from 56 to 60 says, Peter denied he knew Jesus three times. To make matters even worse, straight after the denial, we are told, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Friends, can you imagine how Peter felt? He denied Jesus time after time after time, and then was eyeballed by Jesus. We need to note, Jesus looked at him. He didn't glare at him. Jesus knew that this was going to happen, and Jesus' heart would have been one of compassion, not judgment. He was feeling Peter's pain. However, Peter was so disgusted with himself, he walked away grief-stricken, judged himself, retired from the ministry, and went back to the fishing industry. Peter next spoke to Jesus after the resurrection. He had an encounter with Jesus face to face. If it was you, what would flash through your mind? Peter did not ask for forgiveness. Why not? The problem wasn't that Peter didn't know about forgiveness. It was receiving the fullness of Jesus' forgiveness. Peter saw himself as an unworthy, inferior believer. He could not be entirely trusted. Jesus nails the problem. He's not interested in Peter's past. It's forgotten. He's only interested in his future. He asks him 3 times, "Do you love me?" On each occasion that Peter confirms his love, Jesus tells him to get on with the job of tending and feeding his lambs and sheep. First of all, Peter had to accept the fact he wasn't a second-rate servant, but rather a son, to continue to serve as he was promised he would. Many Christians, like Peter, fail miserably time after time. You, like Peter, are expected to get on with the job, your calling. The Lord wants you back on duty. You have a destiny to fulfill, friends. Well, this part of the message, we're going to start praying for the sick. We're going to start praying for the sick and hurting, and have an expectancy, because healing belongs to you. We go to Mark 11, 28 from 23, 22 to 23. Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God, for I truly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." The emphasis of this passage is to have faith in God, who gives us authority to speak to our mountains. Mountains represent obstacles and hindrances to our lives. Any person of faith has been empowered to speak to a mountain, whatever it might be, the mountain of disease, of pain, of marriage problems, financial setbacks, or whatever, and tell it to be removed. Between you and your whatever is a mountain, and it can be removed by speaking, commanding it be removed by your faith-filled words. In James 5:13-15 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the assembly and let them pray over him. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven." Friends, it states that if anyone is going through trials or difficulties, he should pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone is sick, he should call for the elders of the assembly. I am a leader of an assembly. It also states that I'm entrusting the sick person to the Lord and the joyous presence of the Holy Spirit to bring healing. This is a fundamental doctrine of believers. Believers have the right to call on leaders of the assembly and to pray the prayer of faith with the expectation of healing, and they will recover. It says in Luke 10:9, "And heal the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, if what I've said is from you, then confirm your word with signs of healing and creative miracles, or whatever the need is. And the power of the Lord is present to heal now. So lay your hands on the sick or hurting part of the body as I begin to pray, and believe you will receive and you will have. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God, I bind and I break the power of every spirit of infirmity. I rebuke and I cast out every form of disease. Every cancer, you are cursed at the root. I command you die and I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I command a reconstructive, recreative miracle that needs to take place. Be healed and made whole. I command health to everything that needs to be healed. I speak a creative word. Be healed and made whole. Every physical body, every divine health freely flows into the lives of the listeners. Freely flow into the lives of the listener. I command and I speak every life that is in torment or stressed, I break your power and I command you release God's children and set them free. I lose your healing power, Lord, for your name is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. I give you praise, Father, that the enemy has been defeated. The peace of God now healed every broken heart. Every sorrow is lifted right now. Every burden and yoke is destroyed because you, O Lord, are the joy in the morning. You, O Lord, are more than enough. You, O Lord, are our strength and our song, and we magnify your holy name. But thank you, Lord, that you are our righteousness, amen. You are our shepherd. You are our divine giver of life. Let the power of this blessing rest upon you and in you and be imparted by you when you use God's word in the authority of Jesus' name. And know that it is God's will for you to be healed. Believe that you have received and you will have it. The Bible says clearly that you shall recover or you shall get well. Some healings take seconds, minutes, hours, days, but the promise of the Bible is you shall get well, you shall be healed. Don't let fear come upon you. It is the opposite to faith. Act your faith, try moving, you'll find that the pain is starting to subside. Test the area, see if there's an improvement. And above all, know that it is God's will for you to be healed. And use your authority as a believer. Make sure you're living in right relationship with God and each other. We must forgive, no holding on to grudges or being vindictive, and walk in love. Maintain a good confession. Words, your words are powerful, and do not listen to doubt or unbelief. Very important, don't listen to doubt or unbelief. And know again that it is God's will for you to be healed. So my final prayer is, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, giving you his peace. May your sins be forgiven. May your sicknesses be healed. May your brokenness and grief be carried away. May you celebrate with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and know the peace of God in the worst of times, because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the master of the winds and the waves. In Jesus' name, receive this blessing. Shalom. Amen.
Flowing out to you. Let him take you.